Welcome back to another NACE International podcast. My name is Ben Dubose, staff writer with NACE Publications. We're continuing our Coatings Pro and Materials Performance interview series, looking at the impact of COVID-19, this current crisis, on business across a wide variety of industries as it pertains to protective coatings or the corrosion control field. Today, we've got a couple of very interesting guests from the industry that I think can teach us a lot about what's going on out in the field, the impact of this current crisis on business. Those two guys that we've got with us today for the podcast are Davies Hood, president of Enduron Coatings, and Mark Ragsdale, Great Lakes Water Authority maintenance manager. They're an end user of some of Enduron's coatings, and so we'll talk about some of the market impacts as we make our way through the podcast. Before we get into questions about COVID, I want to let each of these men address what it is that their business does so that our audience can understand a little bit more about where they are in the chain, the grand scheme of things. So Davies, let's start with you. What does Enduron do and what's your level of exposure to what's been going on over the past month?
Ben, I appreciate this opportunity and want to start by thanking you for giving me and Mark this chance to talk to the NACE membership. I think that you guys at Coatings Pro do a very good job of reaching important influencers in our market space on many different levels, electronically, cool podcasts like this, and even old school print magazines. We're a subscriber for all of the above here at Enduron. Enduron is a industrial coatings manufacturer based down in Birmingham, Alabama. We're a third generation family-owned business. We are one of the smaller players in the market. That gives us a lot of flexibility and nimbleness, especially during crazy times like these. But we focus on industrial coatings for infrastructure and much more rifle approach than most. We focus on products for water and wastewater. We focus on products for ductile iron sewer pipe, and we focus on the power industry, particularly the power transmission and distribution industry. So all of our products that we manufacture down in Birmingham, Alabama, are used for vital infrastructure upkeep and maintenance.
I'll transition this to Mark now. We're talking with Mark Ragsdale, maintenance manager with Great Lakes Water Authority. They, of course, a utility. Mark, tell us a little bit about where you're based and what it is that your scope of business is.
So we're based out of Detroit, Michigan. We have five freshwater treatment plants. We serve 3.8 million people for fresh water, 816 miles of transmission main, three water intakes. We have 88 member partners across 112 communities, and we treat 1.7 billion gallons a day with 19 booster pump stations. On the wastewater side, I work for the Water Resource Recovery Facility, and I'm the maintenance manager here, and we are the largest single wastewater treatment facility in the United States. And we service 2.8 million people a day, 195 miles of trunk sewer and interceptors. We have three interceptors and serving 19 member partners across 79 communities. And we have the capacity here to treat 1.7 billion gallons a day.
Mark, I want to quickly follow up with you about the projects that you have in place, because I think with you being an end user, that brings a different perspective to our series here. Over the past month, now that COVID-19 has become at the forefront of every business, how has that changed what you guys are doing out in the field? From a maintenance perspective, has that delayed any projects? Has it shifted how you allocate your resources? Has it put a strain on PPE? Just curious from your perspective as a utility, what that's meant for you out in the field.
So anyway, what we have done is we have temporarily postponed all capital improvement projects that are not essential.
Okay.
Because we don't want many more people working in the area than is needed. For as the procedures that we have taken place, we have put every procedure we know of possible into play to protect our employees and to continuously supply water of unquestionable quality to our partners. Let me talk a little bit about some of the things that we are doing. We are taking temperatures of the employees when they come into work. We have red X's on the floors that separate 6 feet apart for the time clock. We have altered shifts so that the employees are not coming in and leaving at the same time in the locker rooms, so that there's no more people that has to be in the locker room at the same time that need to be. We are issuing wristbands to the employees when they get their temperature taken. If their temperature is 100.4 or higher, then they are sent home to seek medical attention. We are limiting our employees to one person per vehicle. The vehicles are getting wiped down with Clorox wipes Lysol twice a day, once in the morning, once in the afternoon. Any employees that are not essential to run this facility are working from home. We have also put out contractor surveys, the forms. When a contractor comes in, they have to fill out a form to let us know if they've experienced any symptoms in the last 3 weeks. We have limited our contractors for only the Tri-County area to come inside the facility. Any doors that are inside the facility that are not on the outside that can be propped open are propped open, because that's one less door that our employees have to touch. So there are several precautions that we are taking. We have issued N95 masks to the employees, N95 masks to the employees to wear when they are in a room with another person. We are practicing social distancing, 6 feet apart. All of our meetings are done via Skype, Zoom, a conference call. So we are taking every precaution we know to keep our employees and contractors safe, and we have not missed a beat with our production.
I want to transition to Davies. You mentioned earlier with Enduron, you guys being a little bit smaller, a little more nimble and agile with some of your processes. Can you give an example of that? Because part of the value equation, of course, it's not just Mark as the end user, it's you guys being able to supply material through this process. What are some of the things at Enduron that are unique? And I don't know, I'm sure there are some people listening that might can try and do similar things, but if you could just try and add some color and explain to our audience what it is about your processes that's allowed you to be successful to this point.
Sometimes we compete with much, much larger international and publicly traded companies. Sometimes I view that as a disadvantage when it comes to purchasing prices for raw materials, stuff like that. But a time like this, truly been our day-to-day operations have only very minimally been impacted. I don't want to make like it's business as normal here at Enduron, but in a lot of ways it is like business is normal here at Enduron. From a manufacturing facility, we have a large plant, we have a large finished goods warehouse, and we have a lot of space for our guys to spread out. Most of our paint manufacturers are accustomed to wearing protective gear because of the very nature of their jobs. And I'm talking about gloves, respirators, protective eyewear. And I did some math before the call today, and each of our employees has about 3,000 square feet in our warehouse on average, so we can spread out pretty easily. We have been lucky that we have not had any Enduron employee with the virus, but we did have one of our key managers go through a 14-day quarantine because his son, who lives at home, tested positive. And it was asymptomatic, but what we were able to do is have this individual quarantine, go home for 2 weeks. He was able to do some of his work on the telephone from home, but we brought in a third party the very night we found out that he had to quarantine to do a third party cleaning of all the substrates in the area where he worked. And when they were here, we had them clean all of the common areas, all of the bathrooms and change stations. So we did have a scare, but not a scare in terms of a positive test. And it turned out his son was asymptomatic. He was able to go back to work, and the guy in our customer service department was able to come back to work earlier this week, totally symptom-free. So that was a indirect answer to your question, Ben. I understand that, but the real advantage is that we are able to respond to customers' needs much like we were 2-3 months ago, back before this craziness began.
What do you think, and I'll start with Davies on this question, what do you think the long-term impacts of this are going to be for people in our field? Now, certainly, when it comes to manufacturing plants, there are only so many different ways that you can do things, even if you are respecting some physical distancing guidelines. But do you see, with regards to some of these meetings that become more virtual, I'm sure you have less travel, obviously, even if operations day-to-day aren't significantly altered, I'm sure you're not traveling to the extent that you normally do. What are some of the long-term changes, or I guess the better way to ask it, are these changes, are some of them going to be around for years to come, or is this a situation where we get through this crisis and then you get something close to business as usual again?
I think that this is a wildly unique period of time, and I've had this conversation several times with business associates, both here at Enduron and with other business owners. I think our whole world has changed, and I think it has permanently changed. I think those that can adjust to take advantage of technology, platforms like the podcast, how we are communicating, platforms like utilizing Zoom and Skype, that's here to stay, I think. So I think even in businesses like Mark and I are in, that a lot of the stuff, you can't make paint remotely. You can't tint or ship paint remotely, and our customers can't apply it remotely. But I do think that communication throughout our supply chain with our customers, amongst our team, has forever changed. And I'm not sure that that's all for the bad, but as a salesman and as a people person, I'm having a hard time with this on a personal level, because I like dealing with people. I like to do business, and this is going to sound particularly crazy, but I like to do business with a handshake, and I don't know when we're going to be able to shake hands again. I do think we have seen a seismic shift in the way that people communicate, and I think the winners after this is over are going to be those that can adapt. Although I still think relationships are very, very important, and there is absolutely no substitute for a face-to-face meeting, handshake deal, looking people in the eye, I think is very, very important.
The reason I started with you, Davies, is that Birmingham, certainly there's been an impact of this everywhere, but it's not nearly as hard hit of a region, at least not in the data that I've seen, as what Mark is dealing with in Detroit. So I wanted to ask you first, and now I'm going to ask the same question to Mark. As someone that's been on the front lines of this in one of the most hard-hit regions in the United States and potentially the world, when you look at the numbers and especially what we have in America, is this something that, as you see this on the front lines, as severe as it gets almost anywhere outside of New York City, is this something that, as Davies was just explaining, that you anticipate changing the ways you do business for a long time?
So I think that's going to depend on the area you're in, to be honest with you. But do I see this changing business for the future? Absolutely. One of the things that is going to change with everyone, and I don't care who you are, just out of common sense, people are going to start washing their hands more, for one thing. And I agree with Davies that it could be, we could be looking that the shaking of the hand is a thing of the past. Dr. Fauci says that we should never do that anymore. But I'm like Davies, I'm a people person, and that's how I deal with my vendors, my customers. It's a term of endearment. You know, it's a welcoming. So that will be a hard thing to let go of. But I do see the industry getting rid of the handshake. But what the hardest hit, we haven't seen what's going to affect us the most yet. When I say we, I'm talking about everyone that owns a business. We don't realize just how many parts and things, bushings, bearings, or whatever that are produced in other countries. This is a global pandemic. And China being hit as hard as they were, Italy being hit as hard as they were, it could be a year from now that we have a pump that goes down, and we go to order our pump, and our vendor goes to pull it off the shelf, and you know what? They don't have that pump. They call their manufacturer, but the bushings or the bearings were made in China. Well, that shop was down for 3 months or 4 months for COVID-19. Or maybe that particular shop is a small mom-and-pop shop within your area, but they never recovered. So that I see that affecting the industry more than anything is when it comes to production. Just how far this is going to go out and how much it's going to affect us. What I am very proud of being from Michigan is it kind of puts you in the mind of World War II, that a lot of our manufacturing plants have retooled themselves to start producing medical equipment. We have a mattress plant that is about 10 miles from here. They started making the foam for the face mask. So the people here in Michigan, if anything, they're very resilient. But yes, I do see some long-term things. Like Davies, I do see there's going to be a lot more Skyping and a lot more video conferences going on. I think that is something that's here to stay. I think a lot of businesses are going to start taking advantage of what they can of people working from home when they can. But as I said, I think the longest term effects, if we haven't seen them yet, and that's going to come with availability of parts.
Mark, I want to stick with you for just a couple more minutes. With regards to your market, when you look at water and wastewater, I'm curious if this current landscape sticks around for a little while with regards to people largely working from home. You don't have nearly the transit that you used to, and we've seen some talk, it remains to be seen, but that life may not be really back to normal until there's a vaccine, which could be 18, 24 months for all we know. Is that potentially a game changer with regards to demand? I know a lot of the capital projects you do, obviously they're contingent on the ways of life that we've done in the past. In terms of water and wastewater, I know that's your expertise. Are there any different patterns that people's new lives, potentially what it might mean as far as projects for you guys down the line?
So I don't see the demand changing for the simple fact that water is water, right? Mm-hmm. So whether the people are at home or the people are at work, it's just a matter of where it's allocated.
Okay.
You know, if you're using the bathroom at your house, or you're using the bathroom at work, or if you, you know, the amount of water that's going to be used is still going to be the same. What I do see as an issue is for fuel crews that have to go out and, for instance, if you in Michigan, now down in Alabama, that's a little bit different. Alabama, your water meter is out in your front yard in a pit, but you don't have the frost line that we do here. But here in Michigan, majority of our meters are located in the basements of the homes. So there's radio reads that are mounted on the outside of the home, and a lot of times employees have to go out and verify those reads or go out and service those meters, so they have to enter those homes. That's where you're going to have an issue, and we've been discussing that with local communities because nobody has went back to work yet, so they're working on how they're going to approach that topic. That when those employees are actually back to work, when they're entering these people's homes, how are you preparing the employee to enter those homes? So that's going to be the biggest issue you're going to see in any service industry. It's not just water. I mean, that's gas, electric, cable. You're entering somebody's home that has potentially been affected or is affected by COVID-19. How do you know? You want to protect your employee. So you're going to have the PPE. I am assuming the PPE is going to change when entering, and the procedure is going to change when employees start entering people's homes in the future.
I'll ask the same question to you, Davies. Is there an impact yet? Is there anything that you guys are anticipating on the demand side that changes with regards to the coatings, the materials that you produce as a result of COVID-19? Or is it too soon to really have a feel for that yet?
I do think it's very early in the game. We're learning things daily. Some days hourly, directives change and news changes. It does seem like we are flattening the curve by restricted movements. That's good. How long is that going to stay in place? That's anybody's guess. From a business planning standpoint, since our products are so infrastructure based, in the long term, I do not see a softening of the demand. I do in the short term, but what is the short term? For us, I believe coatings are a lagging indicator, and I'm pretty nervous about the third and fourth quarter of 2020, but even with a downturn, I see a robust return in our market segment because we're painting steel and concrete. Corrosion occurs whether or not there is a virus prevalent or not, and whether you're dealing with stuff for the water wastewater industry or any other critical infrastructure, bridges, power transmission, anything like that, the need is not going away. Even as our world changes, infrastructure is going to be very important for a long time.
When you mention, Davies, the demand picking up, are you thinking early 2021, or do you have any sense of the timetable for when that might be?
It almost depends on the day or the time of day you ask me that question, Ben. I do think there will be a pretty good global rebound when there is an effective antidote. When we get a vaccine that works for all of the strains, I think there'll be a pretty big bounce because, holy cow, there's been a very hard stop to what just 2 months ago was the best economy I'd ever witnessed.
Yep, I think that's a fair characterization. I'm curious, from a government level, you're seeing all sorts of stimulus measures out there to try and boost demand that certainly can have some effects on coatings, the construction industry, projects that you guys deal with. You're also seeing things that are being proposed for small businesses. When you hear some of the stimulus measures out there, either for in demand or for the businesses themselves, what are you guys hoping to hear? What do you see as most beneficial to kind of help get this industry through at least 2020, it sounds like? Davies, I'll start with you.
The government has reacted and reacted in a way very different than they have in the past. I personally have a hard time getting my mind around a billion, and I was just getting kind of used to talking in terms of $1 billion, and then we just jumped to trillions, multiple trillions of dollars. It's just mind-boggling. I can't even figure out how many zeros are in $1 trillion. But if this stimulus is effective and minimizes the, which will be a global impact, what we do here in the United States affects the whole world quite significantly. If it's effective, it will be it will help everybody. Now, there are lots of levels of what's going on. Enduron applied and received funding for the payroll protection program, which I am a big proponent of. I think that will keep a lot of stability, at least for the next quarter, and that'll ripple through the whole economy in terms of mortgage payments, car payments, rent payments. I think that was a very good program, but the PPP might have been underfunded because I heard earlier this week that the SBA has already run out of money. So I don't know what that means on a global or a political level. I know it is going to be a big boost for Enduron, and that's really the only thing I have any influence over.
Yeah.
Control what you can control. What I am hopeful that the next move will be is an infrastructure plan. The government has been talking for years and years about infrastructure, and I think this is truly a great time to take advantage. There's a lot of people who are out of work. The interest rates are super low. Infrastructure, like I was saying earlier, needs attention, and that would have long-term benefit vis-a-vis mailing out checks. So I'm a big proponent of infrastructure investment.
Mark, I'll transition this to you. I know your role as someone with a utility is very different than what Davies has as president of Enduron Coatings. But Mark, is there anything that you're looking for from a utility perspective with regards to some of these measures that we hear about every single day at the state and national levels? Is there anything that you're seeing or hoping to see that might help you guys through this?
Well, my biggest concern is how many of the small businesses are going to be able to bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
They're being told if they keep their employees on the payroll, that they'll be able to take out the loan and the loan will be forgiven. So we have vendors here that are small businesses. And, you know, we wouldn't want to lose those partnerships with those vendors because we've established good relationships with them. So, we're very concerned about the small businesses here in the Detroit metro area. They're the heart of the economy. So that would be my biggest concern. And if to piggyback on what Davey said, I heard the same thing. The SBA has already run out of money. So that's going to show the biggest effects of COVID-19 more than anything, I believe, other than the actual death toll. It is, from an economic standpoint, is going to be the small businesses. Your big chains, your McDonald's, they're going to survive. They probably do more business through a drive-thru than they do inside the restaurant anyway. But what about the little mom and pops, your little ethnic restaurants, your Polish, your Mexican, your Italian restaurants that people go to? A lot of them aren't even open for carry out. So that would be my biggest concern, is the small businesses springing back.
Closing thoughts here. We're speaking with Davies Hood, president of Enduron Coatings, Mark Ragsdale, maintenance manager with the Great Lakes Water Authority. Davies, I'll start with you. As we close out this podcast, any last words to the industry, colleagues, words of advice, encouragement? Is there anything that you want our audience, as we're continuing, of course, our Nason International podcast series, Coatings Pro Magazine, Materials Performance Magazine, any last words on where you think we go from here, what the priorities should be moving forward?
I'm a very optimistic guy. I like to look at the glass as always half full. The last 6 weeks, almost to the day, I have been challenged to look that way, but I do see a lot of what Mark was talking about in terms of pulling together. The only point of reference I personally have is after 9/11, when I felt like our country was as unified as it's ever been. I think this could be a whole world unification if we can pull together. That's the glass as half full. For the nice audience, I would like to say, hold your chin up. Our market is not going away. The needs for what NACE brings to the table are only going to be exacerbated after this virus or any other setback. So I think we're in for a good ride where we can make a difference taking care of vital infrastructure in the future.
Mark, I'll pose the same question to you. Closing thoughts, where we go from here, what are the factors that you're watching as we try and embark upon some sort of recovery starting in the next few months?
So our biggest concern is to not skip a beat. The worst thing that could happen would be people be quarantined at home or shelter in place at home and not have water or sewer services. So our biggest concern is to business as usual, is to keep producing water of unquestionable quality and supplying that to our customers. My biggest concern, again, like I said before, is the small businesses bouncing back. They are part of our community. They are part of our members and our partnership, and they are a vital part of our economy. I am very proud to be part of this organization. I'm very proud of our employees here to come in day after, day in and day out. Everyone is stressed, especially in the Detroit metro area of what's going on. This stuff is very real, and it's hit home for too many of us. But I will say this, as bad as it is, our organization has done a magnificent job of keeping our employees safe. I hear so much from friends and family that are out of town because they see the news, and Detroit has made the news so much with the death toll and the number of cases. I actually feel safer going into work than I do going to a grocery store. Because I know the policies and the provisions that we've put in play to protect the employees here. And I'd much rather come into work at a wastewater treatment plant any day than to go to the grocery store.
That's great to hear. Folks, he is Mark Ragsdale, Maintenance Manager at the Great Lakes Water Authority. You can find more information about them if you want at glwater.org. That's their website. We're also closing up with Davies Hood, President of Enduron Coatings. If you want more information about those guys, you can find that at enduron.com. Gentlemen, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you, Ben.
Really enjoyed that chat there with Davies Hood, President of Enduron Coatings, and Mark Ragsdale, Maintenance Manager with the Great Lakes Water Authority. Thought it was nice perspective because in today's chat, we're learning not just from the manufacturer of the coatings and materials, which, of course, those are our bread and butter here at NACE International. We want to be receptive to their needs, but it's also good to hear from the end user, which is what Mark does at the Great Lakes Water Authority. So you see the picture from multiple sides in this case, not just the manufacturer, the industry, but also the end user, the challenges that they're facing, because that's what we're going to be going through over the next 12 to 18 months or however long this process takes. We have to work together to survive. And so if the manufacturers are going to succeed, it also takes collaborating with the end users and seeing what their demand picture looks like, what they're doing in the field. And the only way we can get through these headwinds is to work together. Clearly, Mark and Davies have that kind of relationship, and I think that's what we all need to have in the weeks and probably months ahead, unfortunately, as we navigate the COVID-19 crisis. Anyway, that's where we will break things for today. As always, I thank you guys so much for tuning in. Certainly thank Mark and Davies for coming on the podcast. And if you want more information before our next episode, the best place to get that is online. You can get information from NACE International at www.nace.org. You can get information from Coatings Pro Magazine at coatingspromag.com. And you can get information from Materials Performance Magazine at materialsperformance.com. So again, nace.org, coatingspromag.com, materialsperformance.com. That's how you can get news updates every single day about the corrosion industry, protective coatings, what's going on as it pertains to the COVID-19 crisis. You can get updates on the website before we have our next episodes here at NACE International in our ongoing podcast series, which now, of course, is focused on COVID-19 and the impact that it's having on business. And again, it's not just the days and weeks, it's probably months and potentially even years ahead. We know it's a very tricky time for this industry and really all industries as we navigate through this. So we want to be a resource for you guys and help you, the industry, as we move forward. Thank you for tuning in, and please come back soon for more podcast episodes right here at NACE International.